I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe so much in atmosphere. I believe so much in engagement. And there is always an assurance of God making things happen when we get the right atmosphere set. Like Paul, I always refer to Paul's word in the book of Acts, right? Romans chapter number 15 and verse 29. And Paul was saying to the Romans, and he said, I know that when I come to you, I know. It was so sure of that. That when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Because that was exactly what he was commissioned for. And some blessings won't come until it comes to the atmosphere. There are things he could pass across through letters, but there are others that he knows that when he comes, every man God has called has something to dispense. There is something God has committed to the heart and the hand of every man he has called, that when he appears, the blessings comes with it. So I'm very certain this morning that I came here with such a blessing for at least somebody. And that person is already seated. In the order of my own assignment, I do it more often in the prophetic. So the substance I came with will be dispensed in that order, in the name of Jesus. And I so love Paul because he understood so well the system that God, through Christ Jesus, had put in place. He understood the fact that our fellowship breeds interdependence. And that as much as I have come with something, you also have something to offer me. Hallelujah. So you see that reflecting in his words in the next verse, in verse 30. The man that was coming with the blessing, the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ also said, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So Paul also understands the body, that the church also has something to offer the people that God has sent to them. So the system God has put in place is that of interdependence. And nobody is superior. My call doesn't make me superior to you. And your place doesn't make you inferior to me. Your place doesn't make you superior to me. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
We all have something to offer each other. And that's what makes a robust system that Jesus Christ put in place when he said, I will build my church. So the system that Jesus Christ is building on earth is such that everybody has something to offer. In case you do not know, you carry something and you have it there and you can offer it for the robust development of that which Christ Jesus is doing. No matter who you are, you have something to supply. If at all you do not recognize anything, you will understand that you have a place in striving together with the saints in prayers. And that's substance. So, What am I saying this morning? It is that we cannot stand independent of each other. We all have a connecting point where a supply helps us to also blossom and be all that God wants us to be. Amen and amen.
Amen.
So I'm persuaded this morning that there is a blessing in the house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said I'm persuaded there is a blessing in the house.
Amen.
And it can be so substantiated the material. It can be such a blessing that you can have it handy as you are going home. It can be such a blessing that you have a lot of signs that they are with you. You have it so tangible that it's in your hand. You have it to hold. You have it to touch. You have it to take home. I thought somebody was going to get excited. So help me convince somebody you have a take home today. In the name of Jesus. I feel a very tangible anointing. There is an expression of the Holy Ghost that will hit everyone.
Amen.
And will make you better.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me read to you a story. Let's go on a journey of about few stories in which I will begin to prophesy. All right. So Jesus, this is a story you'll be very familiar with in John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. And you can come from verse 32. John chapter number 4. Okay, can you back up to verse 30 so that we have it a bit clearer? Thank you, Jesus. Mala rubahasia ko pelerembara. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciple urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And you know, I don't want to start from the story, the part of the story where he engaged the woman by the well. At where? Samaria. Okay, they are Bible students here. At Samaria. But you know, this is after the engagement with the woman, and the woman had gone into the city. Then the disciples returned. Don't forget, before the disciples left, what the matter was before they left was the man was already what? Hungry. Okay, I want to know you are in the story properly. The man was already hungry. And it was such a nature's call deserves that if you have people who love you, they quickly want to attend to you. All right?
Yes, sir.
Especially when he's a good master. And everybody's trying to get stuff. Like, you know, one of the things I enjoy from pizza is food. And dessert too. Food. They can make food available for me. Even when I'm not hungry though. Amen. And that's one of the way you do service to people you love. And they had to quickly go get some meal for the Lord Jesus. And by the time they came back, the story had changed. The engagement has shifted. He was already answering another call. No longer nature's call. And at that time, he was already engaging a woman. Who was just by herself. And you know, that's your call. Your call is such that the Spirit of the Lord can cause a shift at any time in your journey. And you have to begin to look at the Spirit engagement differently from the way you have always seen it. Don't you ever miss the opportunity that the Spirit make available in your journey. One of the demerits of our religious engagement is that we have atmospheres in court where the Holy Ghost work profoundly. So we are limited. When we're probably in the bank, it may not really be the time for serious spiritual engagement. And it's a lie the devil had told us for so long that must stop. The deep things of God only happens when we are gathered together to an atmosphere like this. But we do not have prompt responses to the Holy Ghost at any time. Somebody say at any time.
At any time.
It could be any time. It could be while you are in the flight. That the greatest opportunity of advancing the cause of the kingdom will happen. It could be when you were having some social engagement. You know, I remember that year. I was in Ibadan. And I was in a party. And I had so many of my old school friends in that party. And, you know, Nii took me for that party in Ibadan. We were lodged in the same hotel. And, of course, you don't want to do any preaching business at that moment. You want to eat suya and asun and have a good time. And so, while it was evening, it was after party. So, all the old friends decided to gather and, you know, just to socialize and relax. And I was in my shorts, and I was targeting one bowl of asun. And while I sat down there, and I called my brother's wife to get me the asun, then the Lord began to speak to me about a girl, a lady, just opposite me. I said, why should I go and talk to someone now when it is time to relax? So when they brought the asun, I lost my appetite. And the Lord said to me, you tell that lady, this is the plug. This is the most visible plug she has into God. If you will go to her. And to make it worse, when I was trying to gear myself up to go to her, then I saw her husband came to sit with her. I don't talk to people's wives. So I said, wow, this one, end of the story. But while I was still there again, I saw my brother's wife talking to her. So I said, I have a link. So no excuse. I cut my story short. I reached out to my brother's wife that, please, who is she? I said, she's my friend. Pastor, is there anything? I said, no. I just want an opportunity to talk to her. And while she went to meet the, while I was sitting, she went to meet with her and said, see, that's my husband's brother. You may just see I'm the wear shuttle. He's a man of the spirit. And he would like to talk to you. And the lady came and I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yes. But I said, you're at the point where you have so many doubts in your heart about the Lord Jesus. So much of doubts. But that the Lord Jesus said he wants to make himself real to you again by giving you a baby girl. And we prayed together. And she started crying. A year after, I'd forgotten. After I left, I didn't know. The lady accepted to start an house fellowship in a house in Ilori. Just because of that. So God can remember me like this. Not even in church. How come? But God, if you give me this baby girl, she'd been waiting to have a baby for 9 years. If you give me this baby, Lord, I'll serve you more. And she rededicated her life to Jesus. And from that hour, she became very fervent with the Lord. A year after I was in my house in Magodo, then my brother's wife called and said, these people are in Lagos with the baby and they want to see you. Now, what am I saying this? You are going to walk out of here loaded but waiting for opportunities. How many of you are agreeing with the Holy Ghost? Opportunities will pop open. And you will become ambassadors of this kingdom. Amen. See, even when you don't feel the groove, the Lord is at work. I told Pastor, while we were in Israel, the first day we got to Israel to settle down and have some time in God's presence. Everybody was tired. Everybody. So I was almost going to tell everybody that, okay, this has been a journey. Let us go and catch some rest. And maybe we can come back in the middle of the night. Oh, maybe we should just leave everything till tomorrow and we pray tomorrow. But hesitating again, I just said, okay, can we just have a few minutes of praying together before we go to sleep? And we all agreed after dinner. So after dinner, we had a hall like this where we had a buffet with other nationalities. And when we were done, we actually approached them that, could we use this hall to pray? They said, yes. But the other nationalities were not ready to leave yet. So we divided the hall into two. We went this side, and they stayed on this side. After their own meal, they still wanted to have some. One of them was one of the bad days. And they brought out vodka and all kinds of drinks so to celebrate. So we just moved to one side, tired. And I was in a hurry that, okay, can we just do our own chaplain and move to sleep? But the Holy Ghost was waiting on us. So we got there, and I said, okay, people of God, can we just thank God? As they were thanking God in my usual way of praying, Marako Saraba, Diale Kesile Bontale, Yebra, no groove. How many of you have prayed with groove and sometimes no groove? So that day, it was no groove moment. So I was Rabado, Kambre Kesile Kombrada Hila, Yabase Kerekete. Now, amen, amen. As I was doing that no groove moment, the Holy Ghost was taking advantage of his own moment. At my no groove speaking in tongue moment, one of those guys from Poland just stood up from the drink and started coming close. Started coming close. But because of the skin barrier, I'm sure, he couldn't cross over. So he drew his seat close to us and was glued to us. And I was like, what is this? Then I didn't even know that our people also noticed. You know, you people, while you are praying, you are still watching. You are praying in tongues. Why did they look us? And at that moment, he went back and called the lady. And said, ask the lady to come and pointed again. I said, well, whatever. And I continued in my no groove speaking in tongue moment. Then after our meeting, she walked up straight to me and said, you speak Polish? I said, I've never been to Poland. He said, you were talking about me, my daughter, my granddaughter. And I was wondering, how do you know me? He said, please, can you do it again? Can you speak in the spirit for a moment? You know, you are going to come to the reality of your supernatural, natural life. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So, I had to talk to the guy about Jesus and the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, look, it wasn't just me. He now called the friend, the lady. That one doesn't speak English at all. So, he had to speak their Polish language to that lady. And that lady spoke back to her that, yes, I heard too. Everything. I heard. So, it was two people. So, it was not just interpretation of tongues. It was their language. And I had never Oh, God. Some of you have been here speaking German. And God will need to use you in the airport someday. Come on. But some of you, you quench the light. You quench the spirit. Because you want to be orderly. You don't want to be disorderly. Because you are not in church. They told you a lie. That it's only in church you can do some stuff. But I've come to tell you the truth. That the Holy Ghost will seize moments in your life as you journey. Now, this is God's intent. This is God's intent. This is God's plan. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ado barokasibalia kanya. Ephesians chapter number 3. Verse 9. Can you give me verse 9? This is God's plan. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. God's intent is to make you and I stewards of his mysteries. And when I'm talking about stewards of his mystery, I'm not saying you are going to try to be mystical. I'm only saying your natural life will begin to supply and dispense certain levels of mysteries. Because you will love differently. And it will be a mystery. You will do what natural people don't do. Like you forgive the way they can't forgive. Have you ever forgiven somebody before and the person can't even believe you are forgiven? You don't get what I'm talking about. Have you ever forgiven somebody before and the person is trying to wonder, that's the steward. You become stewards of God's mystery. What people can't explain begins to come out of your life. This is what God has kept in himself from ages. And this is the now moment for such expressions. When I say becoming stewards of God's mysteries, I'm not saying you are speaking mysteries, you know, some of you will now take it to another end that you feel you want to say something that people can't understand. That I saw the seven angels with seven stars and their eyes burning with fire, then I saw candlesticks in their eyes. You know, I know you want to go that way. But when God is talking about you becoming stewards of his mysteries, he's talking about your life. Yeah. That when you release yourself, things that will come out of your life will even baffle you. You want to know that those possibilities exist and they had always been in God eating. You are the ones that will carry it out. This is his intent. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. Fellowship of the mystery. Hidden in God. Who created all things through Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, to the intent that now, somebody say it with me, now. Say it again, now. Say one more time. God's intent is that the things hidden in himself for ages will be expressed in manners that the world cannot even, they cannot fathom it. And it, because the way of expressing it is so deep, it is called the manifold wisdom of God is the expression of the now. So you are like a wind. You are not predictable. If anybody thought you already understood, you say joker. You are evolving. And it's in many sided. It is in diverse levels of wonder. Because that is God himself. God is super wonder. Each time any man meets God, he finds another expression. That's why we won't get bored in heaven. Because if you thought you know him, by the time you're seeing him again, you are seeing him another way. And he says that to those who have come to him, they will become that channel of expressing such levels of wisdom. Many-sided, manifold wisdom of God. And listen to me. The expression of this wisdom of God is not just for people to see. Can I speak a little more? This is his intent. That now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the ecclesia, the church that he said he will build. This is his intention. That the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to principalities and power in the heavenly places. You don't get it. That forces that thought they are taking over regions and territories, by the time you appear, they'll begin to learn lessons. Oh, you didn't get that. That is, you see, they thought it would shock them with angels. Angels don't even have this. The church has it. And who is the church? Who is the ecclesia? That's what Jesus is building. He's building a people that can dethrone principality. You see, church operates in dimensions of expression of the power of the Spirit. The lowest level is, he that believe in me shall cast out demons. That's the starting point of dealing with Satan. When you begin to journey, your life will now begin to instruct principalities. Oh, you don't get it. That when you come into that city, the Holy Ghost in you will bring certain possibilities that those powers don't even know exist. And now some of you will be so loaded that when you come into territories, they will call a meeting. That the light bearer just appeared. That's why you must carry a refurbished, a newly furnished sense of you. Of you. You are not ordinary. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? And what makes us this formidable is that we are just ready to obey God all the way. It can interrupt our moment of eating. And we won't feel it. Jesus had shifted from the moment of waiting to get food. You know, that's the story I came from. I shifted to a moment of fulfilling the Father's bid. And was so engrossed that he had even forgotten that he was hungry. Like Job said, I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary meals. I'm saying that God will so shift you that your natural appetite will be submerged. Some of you, your taste bud will change. Oh my God. Have you seen people whose natural appetite had been submerged before? Have you seen girls who wear 1 week for so long that they have forgotten it's 1 week they wear it? Because something else took their moment away. Come on. You know, at the platonic level, you are more concerned about yourself, your looks, your own. But when the engagement of the Spirit gets to a level, you would have forgotten those stuffs. You are just sold out. So when they came that day to Jesus, and they said, the meal is ready. He said, I have the meat that I'm eating now that you do not know of. And they looked at themselves and said, Abi, somebody don't go buy our food before we come. What kind of master is this? He said, the meat I have. Look at the transition of that story. Then I'll pray with you. I'm getting there because I'm going somewhere. And I'm getting there now. But I needed to do all this before. Can you speak in spirit for a moment? John chapter number 4, verse 32. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Some of you, you realize you have a well-furnished sense of you. God told me yesterday, he said, he that is in honor, and he knows it not, is like a beast that perishes. You'll be underused, underutilized. You won't maximize your potentials because you don't even know who you are. You understand me? A prophet is not without. So there is something synonymous to a prophet. It is called honor. A prophet is not without honor. There is something tied to a prophet. It is called honor. The honor must start from him. You must honor yourself first. Because without honor, a prophet won't operate. He said, why was Jesus saying a prophet was without honor? Because in his city, he couldn't do much. Why? Because they didn't see that honor. If you see the honor, more things will happen. Yes. But Jesus knew he was honorable. You must carry. Don't let even your mistake reduce the sense. It's not you. This treasure is an earthen vessel. Stop seeing the earthen vessel. Start seeing the treasure. That's what I came to tell you. If your focus shifts on the earthen vessel, you will see yourself more from the lines of the mistakes you have made. And the enemy will handicap you. The treasure is in an earthen vessel. But your sense of value must be derived from the treasure, not the earthen vessel, Zach. Because if you look too much at the earthen vessel, you despise the treasure. Beat your chest. Not in pride, but in confidence. And say, I carry something. And I know it. Say it three more times. Hallelujah. Say it this way. I carry God. And I know. Say it like this. I carry kingdom. And I know. Take a stand. Say, I carry kingdom. And I know. Say it again. I carry the Holy Ghost. And I know. Do you know? Stop focusing on the earthen vessel. See. What preserved the vessel is the treasure. I will soon be done. Don't worry. Don't worry. You can stand with me for a moment. At least pay the tithe of standing. I have been standing for a while. Can you stand with me? Because this is a moment of impartations. Listen to me. Listen to me, church. They were ministering to the Lord in Acts chapter 13. It's not any better atmosphere than what you have on Sundays here. You don't understand. In Acts chapter 13, the Lord told me, what makes the difference is consciousness. Consciousness. Some of you come casually. And so you go casually. But those guys knew they were ministering to the Lord. And the atmosphere of the Spirit was so engaging that it began to describe generations of ministry. From that spot. How many of you know what God can set off from here? Just this moment. In that Acts chapter number 13, the Bible now said the Holy Ghost spoke. It was inconsequential whose mouth was used. They didn't say, and Papi spoke. In the midst of the people were different names. Look at verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake. Was it a sound from the roof? It was the movement of somebody's mouth, but it was not labeled Prophet Simeon spoke. They, you know what happened? They were so conscious of the treasure. Yes. They were so conscious of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
How many of you will call? Even if somebody began to bring a word now, you won't consider it valid because it's not coming from my side. Yeah. Wow. The Holy Ghost spoke. And what the Holy Ghost spoke was describing destiny. Separate unto me, Saul, Barnabas, for the work to which I have called them. And in verse 3, the Bible said what? They laid hands on them. Some of you, if I say let's lay hands on you now, you just feel it's a casual thing. What am I saying? How much of substance you draw and how much of impact you make is dependent on your sense of value. Treasures in earthen vessels. So what am I doing this morning? I am provoking you to go and live your ordinary life in an extraordinary way. Your natural life in a supernatural way. I'm preparing you for moments that will teach principalities and powers. The manifold wisdom of God. Because they thought they could predict you. But this time around they failed. Oh my God. This is a season of unseating powers, principalities. By the church. Manifold expressions of the wisdom of God. Now look at when they prayed over Barnabas and Saul, the Bible says straight away, look at him. Let's read a little further. I'll come back to my main text, then I'll pray with you. So being sent out in the, by what? Can you see the emphasis?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost spake. Men laid hand, but he was sent by the Holy Ghost. But if it is my day, they will say, who is there? That guy called Sirius or Syrian of Niger, whatever was the one that released them. No. It was the Holy Ghost, that word.
That released them.
They were sent down to Lucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. Being sent out. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Verse 8. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, whose name was Bar Jesus, who was with the proconsul, that is deputy governor, right? You see, Bar Jesus was taking. Oh my God, I'll come back and teach again. When you see principalities, they have their expression also as spiritual, in spiritual functionaries. And most of them are in palaces. They are close to government. It's only church that is not close to government. False powers are very close to government. If you know how many demons are attached to governors and the people they consult, the church has got to wake up. Give me another translation of verse 7. I want to find proconsul. Another word for proconsul. Because I know it's a term for government functionary. Media, quickly help me save my time. Who was closely associated with the proconsul of the province? Oh, I need another translation. I don't want that proconsul. Okay, if that's all you have, I give up. But if you have a dictionary, help me check proconsul. That's the word I want. Who was a friend of the governor? Those are the people that influence your region. Can you speak in the spirit? There are things you will upturn in this nation. There are things you will upturn in the nations of the earth. Aiko paru fasanda likotia ko prastanda bokomperadia stebolonta. Bresiko pelembo refedi. Eprusika bilonkate. Estopando kepo rafika bilahante. Jesus' mighty name we pray. The Lord says to speak to three people here. The anointing of Daniel is upon you. You are going to the coffers of the king. You are attached to thrones. Aya Boraseli, let the oil come upon the three of you. Aye kopesofe borani kase. Okela bronsa lebonta vresika bendose. The anointing of Daniel is so upon you. And in the name of the Lord, we release the spirit of Daniel upon the house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let kings draw counsel from your mouth. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand upon your head. I receive in the name of Jesus. Now listen. I've not yet arrived where I'm going. He was a friend of the governor of the island, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. Oh my God. It will amaze you that educated governors consult illiterate, because the illiterate carries spiritual. If you, oh my God. No, another translation says what? That man is a wise and intelligent leader. But by Jesus was his counselor. And we are going to deal with principalities. If you know, if you won't play church if you understand the things happening around the nations. If you understand the powers whispering to governors and presidents. If you understand where they go. One of my guys who is in the DSS told me how he would travel with his oga in the middle of the night to a remote village to go and sit on mat talking to one man who has never been to school. And the guy that has doctorate will now sit down and say, Baba, so what do you say, sir? Where is the church? The manifold wisdom. Let the church arise. But you see, the interesting thing is, when Paul and Barnabas got there, now listen, and he was a friend of the governor of the highlands, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. The governor called Barnabas and Saul before him because he wanted to hear the word of God. They were now there to unseat principality Zach. The patronage of Bar Jesus will end. That's your assignment. You see, Kule, it is the season where kings will seek your wisdom. Yeah. So, the next verse he said, in verse 8, he said, but they were opposed by the magician Elymas. That is his name in the Greek. Who tried to turn the governor away from the faith? Then Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the only credential. Let me tell your friend standing beside you, your only legitimate credential is what? Filled. The only thing some of you have done with your Holy Ghost is to speak in tongues. Some of you are walking out of here with prophetic authorities. Yeah. To stop the anomalies in your office. Yeah. To stop the anomalies in your family. Yeah. To stop the anomaly among nations. Yeah. That is why you are filled with the Holy Ghost. When Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked straight at the magician. And verse 10 said, and said, all full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of the righteous, will you not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. Where are these men? Can you help me find these men who are full of the Holy Ghost and they know what to do? Lift your hand up, say, I know what to do. Because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, so you'll be blind for a time. And immediately, not later, there is no contest. Oh, somebody said, full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, immediately a dark mist fell on him and he went around seeking someone to lead him by. See, it was a product of a meeting that happened in Antioch. And when hands were laid on him, he moved out in boldness, sent by the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. I don't know what you carry. I carry the Holy Ghost. And that's all it takes. You know, you had been filled before, it was filled again. There are seasons when you confront situations full of the Holy Ghost. And God is getting you ready for this. Back up to my text. Let me read through. And I'll pray with you this morning. Then the Holy Ghost will come upon you afresh. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready for impartations? But he said to them, you can sit down now. You can sit down for a while. I don't know But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Now follow the transition of the speakings of our Lord Jesus. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And in verse 35 it says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who have sent me and to finish his work. Then he began to say, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. What's the correlation from food? Look at the transition. From eating, the discussion was about, I have food to eat that you do not know of, and that food is to do the will of him that have sent me. And he began to describe to them that, okay, the meat is an harvest. Then he transit. There was another transition. I don't have time. Then he's in the next verse, he said, and he who reaps receives wages and gather fruit to eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Then he began to classify harvest to sowers and reapers. Then he moved again to another gradient. For in this, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. That's classification again.